I'm glad that we're standing. There is a word from the Lord this morning in the Old Testament historical book of 2 Kings. And we're just going to continue to walk through this book of 2 Kings as the Lord has placed it on my heart. And when y'all get tired of it, just let me know when you come through that door. We're tired of hearing it. And I'll say, I'm glad to know that we're still going to wait on the Lord. Second Kings chapter number 2, verses 1 through 14. I'd just like to read into your hearing this morning, verses 13 and 14 of 2 Kings. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And as is customary, the words will be on the screens. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Beginning with verse 13, here's how my Bible reads. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Gigi, this is my shout out to you. We're definitely praying for you and Jimmy as he is not feeling well this morning, but we feel you in our presence. Derived from the biblical context, take up the mantle has become synonymous with a person's intentional assumption of his or her predestined purpose. It is both symbolic as well as figurative. Symbolic because the mantle or cloak is more than just an article of clothing. It symbolizes divine authority and supernatural power associated with the prophetic role. Figuratively, because it carries the connotation of a servant assuming the role and responsibilities of his or her master, teacher, or predecessor. There is a symbolism of numbers here in our text this morning. In fact, a symbolism of the numbers 3 and 5 in our passage. I'd be remiss if I didn't point them out. Well, as far as the number 5 goes, there are 5 treks in this morning's passage, or 5 journeys, if you will. There are 3 demonstrations of loyalty. They are signified with the phrase, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." There are 5 tracks, 3 demonstrations of loyalty. And then there are 5 distinct locations: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, the Jordan, and as we will soon see, the Transjordan. 5 tracks, 3 dimensions, 3 demonstrations of loyalty, 5 distinct locations. But then there are 3 chapters of the sons of the prophets. No, I do not mean chapters as in biblical divisions, rather as in a local branch of a society known as the sons of the prophets. 1 at Bethel, 1 at Jericho, and 1 at the Jordan, which was comprised of 50 men. And on today, family, with the modern usage of this idiom or ideology, take up your mantle in mind, the ideal of successional leadership, I want to submit for your consideration, what if the 5 locales recorded in our text actually correspond to 5 seasons, 5 seasonal principles of this Christian experience? What if the five locales recorded in our text actually correspond to five seasonal principles of this Christian experience? With this proposition in view this morning, I want to unpack what I believe is necessary for you and for me to take up our mantles successfully. North Oaks, I believe that God has placed somebody, an Elijah of sorts, in each one of our lives. Amen, somebody. And God has called you and me to advance the legacy of the mentor he used to shape us, to mold us, to prepare us to leave a successful legacy for the next generation. Family, this morning, I believe the Lord is saying to each of us through this text, take up your mantles. And I'm here to persuade us all that if we are to have success, to do as much, we've got to be careful to master these five seasonal principles of this Christian experience. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what are these five seasonal principles? Hold your horses, Fred. I'll share these with you, and then I'm in my seat. North Oaks, in order to take up your mantle, number one, according to our text, you must embrace God's purpose for your life. You must embrace God's purpose for your life. It's right there in verse number one. Look at what it says. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Bible says that they walked or they went together from Gilgal. And I want you to know, North Oaks, this morning, that Gilgal represents a season of decision. Somebody say that for me, a season of decision. That's right. We must all choose, CW, we must all choose either to follow Jesus or to run our own lives. And it was Joshua who made the now heralded proclamation before his brethren, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Situated on the southern hill country of Samaria near Jericho, the village of Gilgal is where the Israelites established their first camp after crossing the Jordan River. Gilgal means to, get this, roll away. The name Gilgal means to roll away. And somebody knows that before God can use you, he had to roll away some things in your life that would hinder your purpose. Let us consider the record of Scripture. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse 15 through 21. Oh, Larry read it for us a minute ago. The Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Maloha, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So it was God who told Elijah several chapters ago, I want you to go and find Elisha, and I want you to anoint him as prophet in your place. Well, look what happens. It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he, being Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him. And he had with the and he with the 12. That means he was doing his own work, y'all. And Elijah passed over him and threw his mantle or threw his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, then I'll follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Elijah basically said, "Hey, man, I'm doing what God told me to do. Whatever you decide to do, that's between you and God." And look at verse 21. That's Gabriel's interpretation, by the way. So he returned from following him, Elisha did, and took a pair of oxen and sacrificed them and bore their flesh with the implements of the oxen. That means that he took the tools, the plow and all that. He took that and made a fire. He destroyed it. And then he killed and sacrificed the oxen, bore them, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Well, Pastor Orr, if we already read that, why did you take all that time to read it again? Because I wasn't sure you knew what you read. Let me give you an explanation. Man of God went and found Elisha, who God pointed out. He walked past him while he was busy working. He was a rich man, handling his own business. Elijah walked by and threw his mantle on him. Elijah jumped up and said, "Hey, let me go back." Elijah said, "Hey, man, do whatever you want to do. That's between you and God." So Elijah went home and threw a party. He threw a party because God had given purpose to his life. He threw a party, then he followed the man of God. It's an amazing thing. Somebody said, "Well, Pastor, when I got my purpose, I didn't throw a party." Well, you should have. North Oaks, it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been in church. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. God is looking for some genuine disciples, those who've made up in their minds to follow Jesus despite the cost. "I don't need that plow anymore, and I'm not concerned with these oxen. My God has given a purpose and an assignment to my life." North Oaks, if we're going to take up our mantle, number one, we must embrace God's purpose for our lives. But secondly, are you interested? Secondly, we must entreat the Lord in the house of prayer. Oh, Kathy, this touched my heart this morning when I was writing this. I just told on myself. Entreat the Lord in the house of prayer. It's right there in verses 2 and 3. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. North Oaks family, I submit to you that Bethel represents a season of development. Say that with me, a season of development. It's an interesting thing. Before we can ever hope to take up our mantles, we must learn how to pray. We must learn how to pray. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I love this passage. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many know that prayer will develop you? How many know that prayer develops the Christian? Formerly the Canaanite city of Luz, Beth-El lies about 12 miles north of Jerusalem. Beth-El is where Jacob dreamed his ladder descended from heaven. And family, Bethel translates literally house of God. Beth, house, El, God. House of God. But in Matthew 21:13, Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter number 56, verse 7, saying, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Well, Jesus gave us a paradigm, Larry. Yes, he did, for acceptable prayer. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9 through 13, where he teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer. which I believe is a bit of a misnomer by us, the Lord's model prayer. But how many know that Peter gave us a paradigm for emergency prayer? Yeah, he did, because in Matthew 14 and 30, Jesus comes to his disciples walking on the water, and Peter requests, at Peter's request, he bids Peter, come to me. Peter gets out the boat. But when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, the Bible says that he became frightened and began sinking. That's when he cried out, Lord, save me. That's the model and the paradigm for emergency prayer. And is there anybody in this house this morning who can testify to the power of an emergency prayer? There have been many times in your life where you've cried out to God and in an emergency prayer, and somehow or another, God delivered. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Family, if we're going to take up our mantles, we must embrace God's purpose for our life. Speaks to Gilgal, representing a season of decision. We must entreat the Lord in the house of prayer. Speaks of Beth El, representing the season of development. But then thirdly, we must encounter the Lord through your praise. You must encounter the Lord through your praise. Somebody said, well, how do I know it's God here? Start praising him. It's right there in verses 4 and 5. Don't take my word for it. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Look at verse 5. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Be still. Now, interestingly, verse 3, they said the same thing to him at Bethel. Family, Jericho represents a season of determination. Say that with me, a season of determination. Before we can ever hope to take up our mantles, we must learn how to praise. Psalm 22 and 3 says that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. How many know that there are some situations we've got to praise our way out of? Positioned about 10 miles northwest of the Dead Sea and some 14 miles away from Jerusalem, Jericho lies some 3,500 feet below in elevation from Jerusalem. Because of its preeminent role in the conquest, Jericho is synonymous with praise. Yeah, it is. Consider the record of Scripture, Joshua chapter number 6. Verses 1 through 5, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. In other words, they heard that God's people were drawing nigh. So no one went out and no one came in. They were scared, y'all. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do it for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, get this, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall flat down. and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. Oh my goodness, just hearing that text give me goosebumps. Do we have maybe just one somebody that's determined to praise until something changes in your situation? Just one person that says, you know what, Pastor, I'm going through such and such. Can you pray for me, Pastor? I'm going through such and such. And now I just found out, and I'm just wondering, when are you going to praise? Because if you're coming to me, I'm going to say, we need to find something to praise God about. Y'all know I ain't joking with you. Does anybody know experientially that there is power in your praise to bring down strongholds in your life? It's an amazing thing, Gigi. It's an amazing thing. If we're going to take up our mantles, family, we must embrace God's purpose for our lives. We must entreat the Lord in the house of prayer. We must encounter the Lord through our praise. But then fourthly, we must embark upon the path of promise. We must embark upon the path of promise. It's right there in verses 6 through 8. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here. It's the third time, y'all. For the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Listen, y'all know why I'm going to talk to this side of the room. Do y'all know why Jane said, please talk to us? Do y'all know why I like the Old Testament so much? The Old Testament has a sort of a rhythm to it. It has a sort of a rhythm as God talks to the people. Oftentimes, you see the same thing happen over and over and over again. Fred, it makes me think about all the times when I tell God, God, just get me through this. I ain't going to never do it no more. And then the next day, I'm doing it over and over. And God says again and over. It reminds me that I worship a patient God. I don't know about y'all, but I could just come down out of this pulpit right now and just praise God for his patience with me. Oh, let me tell you. Y'all don't know how bad Pastor been. Karina know a little bit. You don't tell nobody. But when I think about the patience of God and how hard my head is, my mama used to, when we were coming up, she called us brickheads. I'm sorry, Mama, I'm speaking the truth. I'm speaking the truth. So the two of them went on. Look at verse 7. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance. They stood from a ways off, y'all, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elisha, with a J, took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Somebody say dry ground. Oh, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you why. Because, family, the Jordan represents a season of departure and deliverance. Say that with me. Departure and deliverance. Does anybody believe that? I sure do. Before we can ever hope, Fred, to take up our mantles, Martha, we must resolve to pursue God's path. How many know that the godly path leads to paradise? Known as the River of Palestine, the Jordan flows from the slopes of Mount Hermon south to the Sea of Galilee before it ultimately empties out into the Dead Sea. Family, the obstacle of the Jordan River represents the Christian's pursuit of promise. the pursuit of promise that we all must cross. Consider the record of Scripture, Joshua chapter number 3, verses 13 through 17. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. The waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap. A great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. North Oaks, I need us to understand this morning that deliverance requires us to depart from the comfort of the known in order to enter the rest of the unknown. Let me say that again. We had plenty to eat in Egypt. Never mind they were going upside our heads and making us be a brick without straw. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach today. Family, if we're gonna take up our manners, we must embrace God's purpose for our lives. That's Gilgal, representing a season of decision. We must entreat the Lord in the house of prayer. Bethel represents a season of development. We must encounter the Lord through our praise. Jericho represents a season of determination. We must embark upon the path to promise. Jordan represents a season of departure and deliverance. Fifthly and finally, we must emerge blessed and walking in our purpose. If we're going to take up our mantles, we must emerge blessed and walking in our purpose. It's right there in verses 9 through 14. When they had crossed over Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." Now, if you didn't catch that, let me give it to you. Hold that. If you didn't catch that, let me give it to you. The blessing came on the other side of the Jordan. That's right, Gary, right? Pastor not making it up. Bible says after they crossed over on dry ground, now comes the blessing. "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Let me explain what this means. Elisha basically looked at Elijah and said, "I won't be your firstborn. I want the honor of being treated as your firstborn." That's what it means. Well, I don't know why he wanted to be arrogant. It don't take all that. That ain't what it means. It means preeminence, and the firstborn son got a double portion because of his place. Because of his place. Elisha says, "I want to be seen as your firstborn, because that's the kind of love I have for you. The love that a father has for his son and the son has for his father." Look at verse 10. He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Now, for all of y'all who can't stand Pastor being straightforward, boy, Elijah was showing up straightforward. Elijah said, here's the deal. You ask something hard, but guess what? We're going to leave it up to God. I'll tell you why. But a few chapters ago, I said, if I be a man of God, may you and your 50 be swallowed up. And it happened. And then he said, if I am a man of God, let you and your 50 be swallowed up, be consumed with fire from heaven. And it happened. And then he said, if I am a man of God, listen, here's the reality. Elijah said, I can talk to God and God hears me because I'm his man. So here's the reality. You ask for something hard. It ain't up to me. If God sees fit for you to get a double portion, he'll let you see me leave. That's Gabriel's interpretation. He says, if God sees fit, he'll let you see me when I'm taken up. But if not, it wasn't God's will. Look at verse 11. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared, get this, a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So you can stop telling people that Elijah, a chariot of horses and fire carried Elijah up. No, the horses and fire separated him. A whirlwind carried him up. Look in the books. I tell you, it's always him riding on a chariot of fire. That ain't what the Bible say. Look in your Bible. Don't take my word for it. Look in your Bible. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces as a sign of mourning and great distress. And look at verse 13 and 14. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Let this be a lesson. I don't care how holy you are. When you get ready to leave here, can't take nothing with you. Lord said, you won't need that mantle, Elijah. It fell off of him. Bible says Elijah took it up. Verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters. And it is, he said, let's see if God answered the man of God. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And look at what happened. And when he had also struck the waters, they were divided here and there. And Elisha crossed over. The Transjordan family represents a season of new dimension. Say that with me. Consider the record of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. Family, seeing that Christ was willing to take up his cross, surely we too ought take up our mantles. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you on this morning for the glory of your word wrapped up in the pages of Scripture. We don't have to be like some of these other churches. I don't like the Old Testament. God gave us the New Testament. He gave us it all. And he's the same God. And I declare that not one promise made in the Old Testament was broken by the New Testament. We serve a consistent God. And Lord, right now, we entreat you, let your spirit fall among us in a mighty way and rest on the heart, the soul, and the mind of your child sitting in this room. Never mind who's sitting to the right or to the left, but you will let your spirit rest on them in such a way that you would just speak to their hearts right now. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Take up your mantle. I got a great work that I'm still doing. That's why you're still here. I got a great work that I need to do through you. Take up your mantle. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We see that there are none. Well, family, let me get us out of here. But before I do, let me give an invitation to those who are joining us online. I want you to know that I get the numbers. I get the numbers handed to me. And just as God is adding to our body physically here in this place, in flesh and blood, he is adding to our body online. Those who are showing up here on Sunday mornings and tuning into our live stream, and let me tell you, thank you for worshiping with us. And if you're ever in the Houston area, I would ask that you would come through. I would like to meet you and shake your hand and let you know how much we appreciate you. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church, because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Until we meet again, let every saint sing together. Amen.